I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. O Jesus Anne, Jesus is peace in Greek. Anreine, peace. And that word we know from on our own language, the reign, the queen's reign, means a time of peace. You have a monarch in place and there shall be peace in the land. There's no rebellion, there's no this, that, or the other thing. There is the reign of the queen. A peaceful time. Or you've heard of the word the interregnum. The interregnum is a time in between actions, and it's a time of peace. Jesus is peace. And Jesus, the peacefulness of Jesus, we are called to know that that peacefulness is in our hearts. Some of you are old enough to remember something called Godspell. It came out, I'm not exactly sure, but in the 70s I remember it. And remember the opening line when the actors and the choir would stand up, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then the band would come in and there was lots of action. It was a beautiful piece of work. That's where we are now. We are preparing the way of the Lord. We know that we have a divinity in each of us. You may not think that some days, and you think to yourself, I'm not godly, but there is a spark of divinity that lives within each and every one of us. That's part of the truth of being a Christian. That truth is often forgotten, but we have it within us. We are divine. But not only is that divinity in us, but it is in all people, not just Christians. For Jesus came for the world, not for a select few. That was the difference between the Jewish covenant, who thought they were the only ones that were loved by God. And Jesus came and said, oh no, you're wrong, baby. It's everybody. It's everybody universally. And that's why he sat with the outcasts and the sinners. He sat with those who were hated. He went with the lepers. He was there to bring the message of peace and reconciliation and wholeness to everybody. And we have that light within us, that light of peace. And Jesus demonstrated, even in his last hours, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the gospel writers tell us that Peter, who was a very impetuous person, grabbed his sword when the temple guard was coming to arrest Jesus and whacked the ear off one of the people coming to get and arrest Jesus. And Jesus healed that soldier right there and then in the garden and told Peter to put his sword away. Jesus is a person of peace. And we think of the metaphor of the babe in the manger. And there's something very peaceful about seeing a child at rest and asleep. And I know as a parent, it's very wonderful when they finally sleep. And I'm sure all of you who have been parenting know that one yourselves. But there's that sense of Jesus as the Prince of Peace, the Messenger of Peace, coming into our midst, the Incarnation, calling us to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. So how do we do that? Well, in the time of Jesus, it was very obvious. The Roman way was not a peaceful way. Their way of going to build peace was to destroy everything that stood up against them, and that those who were left standing were too traumatized to do anything, and they were then peaceful because they were beaten into submission. But that's not the Christian way of peacemaking. The Christian way of peacemaking is to put aside the guns, to put aside the swords, to sit down and have a conversation, to listen and to work and to restore relationships, people to be restored together in relationship. And that's peacemaking. We are called to that. So what do we do in our own lives as we prepare to celebrate again the incarnation? The divinity that's alive within each of us. How do we do that peacemaking? Well, there's a lot of programs that people can avail themselves of. But my best suggestion is to think, how would I want me to be treated by that person if that person wasn't raging? I don't want to be treated in a raging way, but how would I treat that person? Would I respond in kind? Or would I be just as angry as they are? Or shall I try to be a peacemaker? I know when I've had people flare at me, and I have had that experience more than once, and sometimes I deserved it. I've got to admit the truth. That I say after they've gone and really expressed their emotions in a violent and forceful way, I'll ask them, instead of trying to respond in kind, though it's tempting to do that, because that's how we're genetically built, I say to them something like, well, do you feel better now? They have to watch your tone when you say that. But really get the idea, are you feeling better? Have you vented? And let's talk some more. And tell me more about what you're thinking. Invite the discussion. Invite the person. Rather than putting up a wall or getting out your verbal sword, invite discussion. And try to clarify what are they really saying and what is their source of anxiety. Inside you may be going, oh, but you work at doing that. And when you do that, know that God's Spirit will be with you. You are at that point in time not acting as whoever, Dave Price, in my case. I'm acting, trying to elicit the divinity that rests within me and bring that to the present. To be working at an active peacemaker. To bring peace through understanding, communication, caring, acceptance. I don't mean you give up your position, but I mean you do it in a respectful way. Let me give you one case in point. This is very self-serving, and I'll tell you all about it. My TV box blew up that I have from Shaw Cable last week. And it was bad. It was zapped. It was fried. And for no reason, it just went. I phoned them, and they said, oh, we'll make an appointment, and we'll see you on Saturday. So make sure you're around all day Saturday and we'll be there. Well, they didn't come. And so I phoned them up. And they said, well, our technician got delayed and we couldn't keep the 12 o'clock appointment. So he went on to the next appointment to make up time. And we have another appointment we can give you next Friday. And so I, by this moment in time, was steamed. But I had to remember that I am called to be a peacemaker. So I expressed in calm ways how I felt it was unjust that somebody who had been in the queue was then being ignored for being in the queue and the next person was getting it. And so I talked to this person on the phone and they went back and were able to arrange to have an overtime appointment for them to come to my house today. We'll see what happens. But if I had stormed at this person, I doubt I would have got that courtesy. It's always a challenge. It's always a journey to work at being a peacemaker. But we are called and we never know when we are to be that person. It doesn't mean that we park our own needs on the side, but it does mean that we try to communicate in an effective, caring way. One of the things that I know when I'm trying to talk to us all about the ministry of peacemaking as we prepare for Jesus and utilizing the divinity that's within us, try to remember that tone is not often helpful. Or our tone, we're like our dogs in a way. If you want to try an experiment, those of you who have a dog, in the most loving voice you have, and patting the dog, say, "You're just such a miserable, rotten cur," you know. And the dog will, you know. But if you say in a loud, angry voice, "You are the most wonderful dog in the world," but you're screaming, that dog will cower because it's tone. We are all built to respond to tone. So God calls us as peacemakers to also remember our tone in our conversation. We are divine. We are called to actualize the divinity that's within us as we prepare for the birth of Jesus. And I pray that today, as we prepare for Christmas, we think about our own peacemaking. And who are we as peacemakers who follow Jesus Christ? And we pray that the receipt of the Eucharist today, to which you're all invited, will bring peace in your heart and a reminder of your own ministry as being a peacemaker, as part of the light of the divinity of Jesus Christ in the world. Amen.